I think I've been doing it for 30 years. No? 35 years. Can I just congratulate you, because you have chosen the best job in the world. I know I'm slightly biased, but I really do think that teaching the Bible to children and young people, helping them to get to know God, is the greatest job in the world. And I do know it's hard work, and I do know at times you feel shattered, and I do know it's frustrating when nobody ever says thank you to you, but it is still absolutely the greatest job in the world and a fantastic privilege. But I'm also aware that you've had a long day, and you've just come and sat down in a hot room, and it's going to be hard to concentrate. So I'm actually going to pray now and just ask God to help us at the end of a long afternoon in a hot room to concentrate and to learn the things He wants us to learn. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we do thank you for this fantastic privilege we have of teaching your words to children and young people, and of sharing with them the experience we have had of your grace to us. Father, please help us now as we're tired and hot. Help us, please, to concentrate. And if there are particular things that we need to understand this afternoon and take away and apply to our role as we serve you, then please help us to really pick up those things and remember them. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
I called this session Just a Helper. I should tell you that I don't think there's any such thing as just a helper. As far as I'm concerned, anyone who's involved in any way in a children's or a youth group has a really important role. Even if you think you're just there making the squash or helping with the cutting out or whatever, they will see us all as leaders. The little children will see us all as adults. I was 12 the first time a child asked me how many children I had. Little children don't distinguish. If you're taller than them, you're an adult.
Yeah. Okay.
And all of us will be impacting them in terms of how we act, how we live, how we model what it is to be a Christian. So my starting premise here is that there is no such thing as just a helper. So even if you're only there once a month, and you just turn up, and you're not involved in any of that front leading, your role is really, really important. So what I want us to think about today is, how do you do that role to the best you possibly can to help support what's going on, to help support the Bible teaching that's going on, to encourage your fellow team members and leaders, and to be a model to the children who are there. So that's what we're going to be thinking about. But first of all, just very quickly, I just want to look at what the Bible has to say about our role. It's going to be a very practical seminar, but we're going to start quickly just looking at what the Bible says. Now, the Bible doesn't actually talk about children's leaders or youth leaders. Neither does it talk about helpers who make the squash. But it does have a lot to say about leaders, people who lead and teach the Bible. And these two quotes in particular are very relevant to us in our situation. First, this one from Hebrews. Remember your leaders, and remember that means all of you. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then in 1 Timothy, Timothy's a young leader who's being taught, really, how to be a leader. Watch your life and doctrine, that's what you teach, closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, as I say, both of these statements are really made to leaders in the church, but they both apply to the situation that we find ourselves in, no matter what our role is. Because the truth is that the members of your group will watch you. They will watch what you're like with the children and young people. They will watch how you relate to the other leaders you're with. They'll watch what you're like with parents. If you're doing a church group and then you're in the lounge for coffee afterwards, they'll watch what you're like with your own children. And not only will they watch you, they will imitate you. So actually, you suddenly see, wow, we've got a really responsible role here, even if we're only there once a month, because we're going to be watched and imitated. Now, I gave you a cartoon And what I would like you to do is have a look at the cartoon and just chat to the people sitting either side of you. We've not really got space in here to split into groups, so just with the people either side of you. And I want you to talk about two things. First of all, what might the leader at the front, that's this chap up here with his visual aid falling apart, what might the leader at the front be thinking at this point? And secondly, if you were in that room, what might you do? Okay, just have a chat about it for a couple of minutes with people sitting next to you, and then we'll see what you come up with. What might the leader at the front be thinking? If you're in the room, what might you do? Okay, can I stop you there? Great, let's think about this leader at the front first. What might he be thinking, do you think, at this time?
Okay, another day.
Another group.
Yeah, you mean it's been like this before?
And yeah.
Oh, this feels normal.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
This is it.
Carry on. I've just got to... 5 more minutes to the end of the service.
Yes.
Music's good.
Music's
good.
Hello. Well, you seem to be going through the lesson regardless of what's happening. Just doing the lesson.
He does rather, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Any reports of what's happening. And he hasn't structured it in a way, in a very orderly way, has he?
Now, how can you tell that from looking at the picture?
If they were on chairs, say, or even on mats in a semicircle, but they're all hippity-pippity, so there's no order at all.
Yeah, so partly he's created his own problem then, hasn't he? You're quite right, yes. He's attempting to give a talk or a Bible reading, whatever it is, in a situation that clearly isn't set up for it. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Probably isn't giving his example. Audio-visual type. He's just reading from maybe the Bible, his notes.
Yeah, I don't know what he's reading from. I can see that his visuals are falling off his his whiteboard, yes. So, yes.
So I do have one question on the other children.
Yes.
I don't know whether they're leaders because I've seen the similar size as the...
I think leaders. The theory is that some of these are leaders. Yeah. 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 Or helpers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you'd be asking the helpers to actually get involved in...
Yes, absolutely. If not actually asking them, I imagine he's at least thinking, "What on earth are they doing? Why aren't they, sorting out some of the problems?" Yeah.
Well, as was said by someone else, if the leaders are not interested in what the guy at the front is saying, how can you expect all of the children to be interested when you've got a guy there on his mobile phone and he's talking to his mate?
Yeah, exactly right, exactly right. What are they modelling? Yeah. They're modelling, this is the boring bit, aren't they? So, exactly right, yes. Much as if half of you were texting whilst I'm at the front talking. Yeah. So, yes.
His style of teaching as well doesn't really reflect the children he's got there.
You mean it's at the wrong level?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yes, it does look a little bit of a mismatch, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we have a chap at work who's very good at cartoons, and I just asked him to draw a cartoon for me that I could use for this. And I think he based quite a lot of it on his experience, because he helps with the boys' club. And they're a nice bunch of boys, but I think it's like this on certain weeks, certainly. So, any other comments on what the leader might be thinking?
Is anyone listening?
Absolutely, is anyone listening? And I think the answer to that question seems to be no. Well, just possibly this girl here. Yeah.
I might not really be aware of playing the problems of the room. He's so focused on giving his talk.
Yeah.
Sort of getting to the zone of giving the talk, and you're concentrating on the material, you don't sort of play the seat.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure we've all had that situation sometimes where you get to the end of a session and someone will say to you, "Well, I thought that went brilliantly, didn't you?" Mm-hmm. And they've just not been aware of some of the issues going on at all.
Well,
yes.
The bee's going to sting one of the children any time now and then. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So let's move on to if you were in the room, what might you do? I'm thinking if you're there as a fellow leader or as a helper, what might you do?
Close the window.
Yes, that's a good start, isn't it? That stops the music coming in and the leaves coming in. The reason for the leaves, by the way, was to give the impression that it's windy outside. Those of you who work with young children will know, I don't know why this happens, but if it's windy, it affects their behaviour. Okay, there's just something about wind that they are much, much harder to settle down if it is windy. And if it snows, you've had it. You've absolutely had it. Although, years ago, we run a full-time conference for full-time youth workers. And a few years ago, we were in the middle of a session and we were in a big hall which had windows all around. And it began to snow. And I can tell you that full-time youth workers are just like three-year-olds. And it snows. We lost all of them. Look, it's wonderful.
Absolutely wonderful.
Okay, what else might you do? Yes?
Maybe get to help us do it in order. Get all the children together.
Yeah.
Maybe sit together in a circle or whatever.
Okay. That might be tricky to do whilst he's giving his talk. So, you might be able to have a quiet word with them, or you might be able to sort of, at least put hands if it's
late.
So,
It's late by that stage, isn't it?
It is a little bit late, yes. Yes, one of the things we're going to be thinking about is how can we be making a difference when we're not the one at the front that's going to therefore support the teaching that's happening from the front. Okay. Any other thoughts on what we might do? Yes?
Sit with the children and kind of order them with you. Let's sit together.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the opposite side, isn't it, from the comment about they're not listening to the talk. If you're sitting with the children and you're listening to the talk, that instantly has an impact, doesn't it? Yes, without actually having to say anything, it makes a big difference. Yeah.
Pack away the distractions, the cups and the lollies and the footballs and get the person to put their mobile phone away.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, yes. That's such a simple thing and it makes such a difference. It's just moving the distractions out of the way. I mean, the football is a nightmare. If you've ever done anything with balloons with children, you will know that they are not able to sit still if there is a balloon on the floor somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay? Or even in sight. It has to be moved and taken out of sight. And again, I can tell you the same is exactly true with a bunch of youth leaders. because I have been in that, and I've done an activity with balloons, and I've said to them, now put the balloons down quietly on the floor, and they can't do it. So you move the distractions out of the way.
Great.
One more suggestion for someone?
That little, I don't know if it's a little girl or boy.
This one?
Yeah, he's not really part of the group. I wonder if there's something wrong somewhere that he's thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly looks like he needs somebody to come and sit with him and to see what's going on, doesn't he? Mm. Yeah. Okay. Great. We're going to come back to that picture a little bit later on. But it sets us up for what I'm going to suggest, which is that whenever you are part of a team, now what I mean by that is any time that you are not the person at the front telling the story or the person running the game or whatever, when you're not the person who's leading at that point, whenever you're part of a team, then I want you to POP. Okay. POP stands for participate. Be looking for ways that you can join in. Oh, I should tell you, by the way, I'm going to give you a handout at the end. A lot of this is on. So if you like writing notes, feel free. If you hate writing notes, you'll get most of it on this. Whoops. Two, observe. Observe what's happening around you and respond to it as appropriate. And pray. And we're going to think about some of the ways we can be praying during a session and also before and after a session. So first of all, participate. A very helpful rule of thumb is that any time you're not at the front leading, you should be joining in with whatever the children and young people are asked to do. Why? Why is that a really important thing for everybody else to be doing? What's that? Good. Thank you. We've already talked about the fact that they imitate us. So if we're doing what we've been asked to do, hopefully they will imitate us and do it. Other reasons?
And if we don't consider it's not important, then what will that
be? Good. So it shows that it's worthwhile, doesn't it? It shows that it's important. It's worth listening to, worth taking part in. Thank you.
I think often the kids have more fun as well, like if they can see the leaders letting their hair down a bit and getting involved, it makes the whole activity more fun.
Yeah, I think
if you're chatting to a different leader, the kids think, oh, it can't be that fun.
Yeah, that's true. And also the older they get too, they start to think, oh, well, it's probably not very cool to do that. Whereas if they see all of you joining in, that actually helps get over the coolness hurdle as well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, anything else? Good, it supports the leader. That's really important. Because, I mean, some of you will know what that's like. When you work really hard on something and you've given up an evening out to go and do your preparation and so on, and then you're doing this thing you've worked so hard on and you feel like you're being ignored by the rest of the team. And that's really soul-destroying, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you can see that they're joining in and focused and listening and maybe smiling at you, it really supports you, it really encourages you. Good. Anything else?
Gives you a chance to get to know them.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. Joining in, sitting with the children, doing activity with them, being with them when they're doing the craft, it all helps to build up the relationships, doesn't it? And also, it all helps with discipline, too. One of the ways that you handle discipline is by finding ways to prevent discipline problems happening in the first place. And one of the things that will help them with that is if the whole of the team is joining in with everything, rather than being distractions around the edges. Okay, here's a few things that we might find ourselves being asked to participate in. Singing. Now, I know that some of you are probably tone deaf and probably hate singing. But please, 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 if the children or young people are being asked to sing, please sing as well. Okay? And if they're being asked to do actions, please do the actions as well. Again, they will imitate you. And if they're decent songs, and if they're not, you might want to have a chat to whoever's chosen the song. But if they're decent songs, they should be teaching wonderful truths about God or about Jesus, or be an opportunity to say thank you to God or to praise him. So we want to be joining in with those things anyway, don't we? Games. Join in where appropriate. Those of you who work with younger children, there will be times when your greater size means it's not appropriate for you to join in the game. But a lot of the time it is, and when it is, do join in, do become an involved part of the group. And if it's not appropriate to join in, then be on the sidelines, being an interested spectator, not having a gossip. Okay? Again, it makes a huge difference to the activity and really helps whoever's running it. Craft. Now, I realise some of you work with older ones, possibly don't do any craft. You're missing out. Craft is great. If you do craft in your group, now, depending on the age of the children you're with, you might already know that it's all hands on deck because you're helping with the cutting and the sticking and finding the blue piece of paper that slipped under the table and all that kind of stuff. So, with older ones, if there's enough material around, then do have a go at doing the craft yourself while they're doing it. Crafts are fantastic opportunities for you to chat to them. They're great opportunities to build up relationships. They will enjoy watching you having a go. If you're rubbish at craft, that's actually even better. Because not only will they enjoy that, but it gives you an opportunity to ask them for help. It's not often that a leader genuinely asks for help from a child. That models something. So if you're rubbish at craft, thank the Lord for that gift. Actually, it gives you a great opportunity to grow a relationship with a child. I love craft. It's such a good opportunity to build up relationships. I also love craft. This is just an aside. A good craft should be reinforcing the story if you're working with little ones, or supporting the main teaching point if you're working with older ones. So one of the joys of craft is that while they're doing the craft, you can be asking them to tell you what this craft is about. A good craft is a craft where they can then use it to either retell you the story or explain the teaching point. That gives you an opportunity automatically to chat about what you've been learning. And then a brilliant craft is one where they can then take it home and do the same thing at home. And that gives the parents an opportunity also to find out what they're learning, to chat to them about it, and so on. I'm a bit biased about craft, aren't I? Sorry, I'll move on. Bible reading. I like to introduce children to Bibles really early on. When I was leading a 5 to 8s group, I would always get the Bibles out with them. And I knew that some of the littlest ones couldn't really read yet. But I want them to be learning the skill of finding a book in a Bible, finding their way to get to it, and so on. And also I want them to know that what I'm teaching them isn't coming out the top of my head, but it's coming from here. But actually, I'm teaching them what God has said in his special book. And actually getting the Bibles out with them does help. With the littlest ones, they're going to need an awful lot of help just finding the place. One helpful thing you can do is explain to them that finding a Bible reference is like going to somebody's address. It's like going to visit Granny. If you go to visit Granny, first of all, you drive to the town that she lives in. Then you go to the street that she lives in. And then you find the right house number. And that's what finding a Bible reference is. First of all, you go to the book of the Bible that it's in. That's just like going to the town. Then you find the chapter, that's the street. And then you find the verse number, that's the house that Granny lives in. I find if you're helping little, quite young ones find their place, you definitely, definitely, definitely want Bibles that have built-in bookmarks. If your Bibles don't, I suggest you make some bookmarks and actually attach them to the Bibles. And then once you've found the place for the child, you can put the bookmark in there. Because you can guarantee by the time you've turned to the next child and found it for them, the first one has closed their book. Okay. So that will just help. With older ones, if there are enough Bibles, and if there aren't, I'd encourage you to find a way of fundraising so that there are. If there are enough Bibles, make sure that you're following the passage again along with the group. Not assuming you know it or somehow giving the impression that reading it doesn't matter. Those of you who work with teens will probably do some Bible studies with them. Do join in the study. If possible, and I realise it'll depend on your overall leader, but if possible, find out in advance what the Bible passage is that the Bible study will be on, so that you've read it in advance, you've thought about it. Do join in. Do listen to everything that is said, either by the person leading the study or by the young people. Do be ready to give your own answer to a question if you're asked, but just watch that you don't say so much that you end up becoming a distraction rather than a help. But do join in. Again, Bible studies are a great opportunity to model your own relationship with God and the fact that you believe that he speaks to you through this and that you believe that this is how he shows you how he wants you to live. And praying. I love praying with children. It's one of the best times to really show them the relationship that we have with God our Father. So I really love playing with children. Because if you can just talk naturally, and I do understand that it's quite nerve-wracking sometimes if you're the one praying up front, not of a group. But if you can talk naturally to God as your Father, if you can thank him naturally for listening to you, you're modelling so much about the relationship that we can have with God through Jesus. That because of Jesus, he's someone we can talk to about anything, at any time, anywhere. We can talk to him about anything at all, the things that worry us, the things we want to say thank you for. Sometimes if you're using teaching material, they have kind of written prayers in them. Those can be useful, but don't make them the only times that you pray. Spontaneous praying models wonderful things to children. Just to give you an example, actually not from doing it with a child. When I just started working at the Good Book Company, my boss, Tim Thornborough, basically couldn't afford to pay me at the time, so I was having to do another job at the same time. And I was given the gift of some money, which meant that I could actually start working properly for Good Book. And I went up to see Tim and I told him that this was what happened. And his instant reaction was, "That's fantastic news, let's pray." And instantly he just prayed, saying thank you. That's a really easy thing for you to do, isn't it, with a child? When they come in and they tell you something they're really excited about. It's so easy, isn't it, just to say, "Oh, that's wonderful, I'm really pleased to hear that. Let's just say thank you to God for that." And it only needs to be a sentence. Not a huge, long theological prayer, just thank you, God, so much for whatever the thing is that that child has just told you. It's a really terrific way of modelling the relationship we have. And similarly, saying sorry. Children do have a tendency to think that we know everything there is to know about the Bible and that we never let God down. It's very good to model to them that we do let God down. That just like them, we mess up. That just like them, we need God's grace. That undeserved gift of his grace. So sometimes, just naturally, you know, you don't turn up every week saying, "Oh, I've just done such terrible things this week. I did this and I did this and I did this and I've got to say sorry." Just naturally sometimes there'll be an opportunity, maybe when you've been sitting in a small group, just to say, "You know, I realise that I really let God down about this week and I'd just like to say sorry to him." Perhaps as part of a group prayer time. That actually models something incredibly powerful to the young people in our care. Oh, one other thing about praying. With younger children, it'll help if you explain to them what amen means. Just explain it as, it means I agree. It's our way of joining in with somebody else's prayer. Because an awful lot of children have a clue why they say amen, and it just kind of parrots out. Okay, that's the P of pop, participate. O, observe. When I'm at the front teaching a group of children, I have often had the experience of wishing that one of my fellow members, team members, who's sitting in the corner over there, would spot something that needs doing and go and do it. But I can't say anything from the front, because if I do, suddenly that distracts all of the children and draws their attention to whatever the problem is. I've also had the fantastic experience of being at the front, leading something, and then finding that one of my fellow team members has responded to something that I haven't even noticed yet. My friend Roz has often been one of the team helpers when I've been leading at the front. And I usually find that by the time I've finished chatting to the parents who are collecting their children, I'll turn around and I find that Roz has cleared the room up, washed up all the squash cups, and created a display. It's wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. So what I'd like you to do, please, is have a look at your cartoon again. And the question you're thinking this time is, what might this team have observed and done something about? Now, we've already had a few of those in our earlier comment. Are there any other things you can see that the team might have observed and could have done something about? We'll just have people calling out for this rather than discussion.
Spilt drink.
Spilt drink, yes. Thank you. That's very easy to deal with, though only if you know your room and know your environment. But children will spill drinks. It's a given, basically. So you should have something around somewhere you can very quickly just mop it up with, so on and so forth. Yep. Anything else?
They could take the book off the child that's reading with the other one, and sweets as well.
This one, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the sweets perhaps could have been kept when the child first arrived, and then given back to them as they were leaving again. Yes? I told you my colleague Andre based this on his boys' club. He's had boys in his club doing this, fighting over the Bible and ripping the pages out of it. So that's why that one was there. Anything else?
There's only one Bible between all the children's well, so perhaps getting some more Bibles out.
I think that would be helpful, yes, definitely, yes.
You'd sort of carefully go around the side and try and fix up parts of the display that have fallen down.
Yeah, I think if there's a way of doing it, there's a help rather than a distraction, then I agree, much better to get those visuals working again, because otherwise they're not doing their job, are they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, anything else?
Remind the girls it's not a hairdresser.
Yes. Yes. Now, you can't really tell from this pic, but actually that was meant to be a female leader. Now, if you've got teenage girls who help in your group, you may well know that teenage girls do like to have little children sitting on their lap, and then they like to play with their hair. That's worth just having a quiet chat to the helper if that's something that they do, because it's not appropriate and it's a distraction. So yes, that one needed... dealing with, indeed. Okay. When you're observing, just a few questions to ask yourself, okay? Is there a problem I can help with? So, any time you're not actively leading, just be looking around the room, see what's happening around the room, and ask yourself, is there a problem that I can help with? And if possible, just go and quietly deal with it. The person at the front will love you if you do that. Is there a discipline issue that needs calming? And sometimes that's just as simple as going and sitting next to a child or between two children or whatever. Is there a child or a young person who needs help? We talked about that little boy in the corner who had his back to everything else and, you know, was clearly not happy. I don't think she's here. I saw someone coming out of one of the sessions earlier who clearly was having a major nosebleed. You know, is there someone that obviously just needed a little bit of help, if only some extra tissues? Is there some preparation you can be doing for the next activity? If you're about to go from whatever's happening now to some craft, just have a look, make sure that somebody remembered to get the scissors out, or whatever it is. Or could you just be picking something up in your hand so that it's ready to give out the second that it's needed? Something like that. And is there someone or something that you can pray about? Which brings us on to the other P of pop, which is pray. Can I encourage you, please, even if you're only there once a month to make the squash, to pray before the session? Pray for the people who will be leading, and if you don't know who those people are, the Lord does, so you can still pray for them. Pray for open hearts, that God would be opening blind eyes and closed hearts of the children and young people, that they will respond to what he's saying to them through the Bible. Pray for the children and young people to come. Pray for opportunities for you personally to show grace to someone. Show God's love to someone. Those kinds of things. Do pray during the session. I suggest it's his eyes open praying at this point. Pray for the person who's at the front leading. They may be really confident. They may be really terrified. My friend Tamar is upstairs right now doing a workshop that she's utterly terrified about. So I've been doing a lot of praying for her in the last few days. Pray for a new child who's just arrived that day, that they'll feel welcome. Pray for a teenager whose family are splitting up. Pray for the young person who's being bullied. Pray for your conversation with a parent afterwards. You'll often find just looking around the room will give you ideas of things and people you can be praying for during the session. And then after the session, do thank God for the time that you've had with the young people and for the opportunity to teach them. Do pray about the things you've been learning pray that they'll make a difference to you and your life, as well as to the children who are in the group. Pray for the children as they go back to their families. Some will be going back to Christian families, some won't. If it's a camp or a holiday club you're involved with, then pray that they'll continue to think about the things that they've heard after they go home. That's the pop bit. But there's a couple of other things I wanted to look at. First of all, this. I was saving a document as part of this session, and the document was called How to Be a Great Team Member. And clearly that was too many letters for my computer. And so it saved it as How to Be a Great Team Me. Which I did laugh at. But the truth is, we don't want everybody in teams to be like me. The whole point of a team is that we are different. And the person who's at the front leading can't be doing some of the things that the people who aren't at the front leading can. So again, a few minutes as a discussion. This is what I'd like you to think about. What are some of the things that team members can do that a team leader can't? Now, what I mean by that is, if you're in the group, among the young people, as opposed to at the front leading them, what are some of the things that helpers and team members out there can do that the person up here can't? Okay? A couple of minutes. Chat. Thank you. That can sometimes be an incredibly helpful thing to do. When you're teaching, those of you who are sometimes at the front teaching will know this, it's clear in your mind what you think you're saying, but sometimes just in the heat of the moment or because you've been distracted, it comes out a bit muddled. So it can actually be really helpful, can't it, when someone does that. It doesn't get helpful if they do it every single time. You want a balance there, but sometimes it's an incredibly helpful thing to do that will bring clarity to everyone. Thank you. Anything else?
Just remove anything that's distracting.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking, I was talking to this, but I said that at the same time it can get to be a tug of war, so you've got to pick your moment. Preferably when it gets thrown and then you can pick it up.
Yes. Yes, and part of that is about knowing the child, isn't it? And knowing what's going to be the best approach with that particular child. And that's kind of straying into the discipline area again. And often, with that kind of scenario, the key is that you are sitting down as a team to talk about it, and you come up with an agreed strategy that you will all do. And that's one of the things that you can do, of course, as the person who's not at the front, is you can be implementing whatever has been agreed as the strategy that you will take for a particular incident or a particular child, whereas the person at the front can't do it without it becoming a distraction. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
This links to that, but yeah, dealing with individuals in the group in a subtle way rather than if the leader does it in front, then
yes.
Suddenly that becomes a really big deal,
yes.
And they're publicly telling someone up.
Yes.
So you can do it quietly.
Absolutely right, yes. Thank you. Yes,
that.
Yes. And for most children, that's a much more appropriate way to handle it. Exactly right. Yeah, thank you. Anything else?
I think you can move around from group to group. If there are different, it's like a group activity, you can go from one group to the other. Support.
Yes, you can do, that's right. You can see where perhaps there might be a need for support, or you know, you can see one leader on their own with too many people around that table and think, yeah, it'll be helpful if I go there, that's right. You've got more freedom, in other words, you've got more freedom and flexibility about exactly what you do or how you use your time. Yeah, thank you.
I suppose whisper into the ear of the child next to you the question again that's being asked to get them to refocus if they're chatting to their neighbour.
Yes, thank you, that's right. Because so often a child does miss something and you can just very quietly draw them back. And sometimes it might also be appropriate to whisper to them the same question but worded slightly differently, because you know that that will be easier for that particular child to follow or to understand. Yeah. Yes?
You could be helpful in interacting with the parents when they come to drop off or pick up afterwards. Maybe some issues at home, or
yeah.
The child may have some issues at that group session or something.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think it's absolutely crucial that we have good relationships with parents. We should see ourselves as being in a partnership with parents. But whoever the overall leader is, you know, of your group or that week, they're not going to be able to talk to 15 parents if they've all turned up at the same time, or even three if they've all turned up at the same time. So yes, that's one of the things. Because there's more of you as helper when you're in the helping role, that means that, you know, there's more of you to be with the children, or there's more of you to be with the parents. That's right, and that's a really important thing. Likewise, when they're first arriving, greeting parents, but also greeting children and bringing them in and settling them and so on. Anything else? Yes?
Anticipate need as well.
Yes, absolutely, you can anticipate needs, and often you're freer to think ahead about what might come next, whereas the person at the front is probably having to concentrate on what it is they're saying or doing. Great, thank you. Just very quickly, we've been thinking all day about grace, and I was doing a session before lunch about how we can model grace in every part of a teaching session. Remember I said there's no such thing as just a helper. So to the children and young people in our group, we are all leaders and we are all modelling what it is to be a Christian. So just a few of the things we can do that will really have an impact are very, very simple. Learning and using names. Depending on the size of your group, that might mean you can learn the names of every single child or young person. If you're part of a big group, then it might mean that you learn the ones from a small group that you're regularly involved with, because it makes such a difference to them if you actually know them and can talk to them by name. Praying with them. I've already said how great it is to be able to pray with young people. Do use simple language. Prayer doesn't have to use long words or old-fashioned terms or anything like that. Just pray naturally and use it as an opportunity to model your own relationship with God. If you're reading the Bible with a group, one of the things I always like to do is pray before we read the Bible. I try to make it a regular pattern that always happens in my group, that we always pray before we read the Bible. And it's just simply to remember that it's God's book, he's the author of the book, and we need his help to understand it. And that's all, you know, I just say thank you so much for the Bible, your book, please help us to understand it. You know, that's all. Talk about your own faith when you can, and just naturally, in a way that will show that it's a part of your daily life. If you can talk about something to do with work or family or school, just a natural part of everyday life. Again, that makes a huge impact. Suddenly, it's not just a Sunday morning thing or a midweek children's group thing or whatever. It's an everyday thing. And child protection. Whatever kind of group you're involved with, there will be some child protection guidelines. If you don't know them, you need to find out what they are and then make sure you abide by them. Often it is helpers who don't know what the child protection guidelines are. Often it is helpers who end up straying and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. I'm not talking about intentional wrong behaviour. I'm talking about just inappropriate behaviour. The teenager who likes to have three girls sitting on her lap. That sort of a thing. And then I just want to think about a team together, because most of what we're thinking about affects you as individuals. But if you think about a team for a moment, I looked up the word teamwork in the Oxford English Dictionary, and this is the definition. Combined effort, organised cooperation. Organised cooperation. Well, I have to say, I can think of quite a few teams that I've been involved with that were neither organised nor cooperative. So, please just be aware of how important your role is as part of the team as a whole. So do encourage each other. If you've not been the person at the front, if you've not done any prep but you've been there, do encourage the people who were at the front or who did do lots of prep. Do say thank you to them. If you think a talk went well, do tell them the talk went well. If you realise they spent a lot of time on something, say thank you to them for having spent a lot of time on something. It's amazing what a difference it makes to people if you just say thank you. And also, if you're not the overall leader, ask for information in advance about what the session will be so that you can prepare better and also that you can pray about what it's going to be. That will be a real encouragement to the person who's going to be leading it. It might also be an encouragement to them to prepare a little bit in advance if they can't answer your question when you ask it. Reliability. If you're part of a team, even if you're just making the squash, be there, be on time, and be prepared. It's really important for your fellow team members, but it also shows the children and their parents that the children's and youth work really matters to you. And team relationships. Some of you will be familiar with that very sad sentence in the book of Philippians, where Paul writes, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord." Sad, isn't it, that the only way you get named in the Bible is because you're having a major disagreement. Okay. So, as much as possible, let's try not to be like Euodia and Syntyche. My friend Talia Blundell, who some of you will know from previous training sessions, she gave me some very helpful advice. She said this: if someone does something that you find difficult or upsetting, always choose to see it in the best possible light. Always choose to see it in the best possible light. So, for example, when another member of the team doesn't reply to your email, instead of thinking, they're ignoring me, and sending them a cross reminder, choose to think, I know they're busy, so it probably slipped their mind, and send them a polite reminder. I just want to read a quote to you from this book. We've had a problem all day with this book. This is Leaders Who Will Last, Tim Hawkins' book. It's a fantastic book. It should have come up for the bookstall and didn't. Somebody drove a box up and bought the wrong box. Somebody else has to get on a train to go back to the office and bought another box up. We do now have some. Good news. At the very end of the day, we have got it. So, if you want one of these, you can get one, thankfully. And it'll only be £5 too. Normally £8. I had the joy of proofreading this a few weeks back. And I just wanted to read one little bit to you because it's very appropriate to us as team members and helpers. When the Bible teaches us about authority, it does not just give us wisdom for what we should do when there's a disagreement. Fortunately, it also tells us about the attitude that we should have all the time, both when relationships are harmonious and when they're not. The clearest example of this is a short command that the writer to the Hebrews gives us. He says this: obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. That, by the way, is Hebrews 13:17. That verse doesn't tell us much that we've not already looked at in this chapter, and this is a chapter about being a helper, and I thoroughly recommend it. But look at that phrase, a joy, not a burden. Think for a moment of your leader, the one person at your church who is the most directly responsible for either your ministry or your own spiritual growth. Consider that person, put yourself in their shoes, and think about you from their point of view. As they consider you, do they think that you are a joy or a burden to them? The submissive person is not simply agreeable, but they are a joy to their leader. When their leader considers them, the first thought that crosses their mind is a positive one. I think that's a great encouragement to us, isn't it? To be a joy, not a burden. Very finally, I'm not going to say anything about discipline. I know a lot of you have just been to the discipline workshop upstairs. Just want to say that discipline is never just the responsibility of the person at the front. If you're there as a team member, if you're there as a helper, then you need to be asking yourself always, what can I be doing to minimise discipline problems and help to implement our discipline strategy? So that's it. Please remember to pop, to participate, to observe, to pray. I have a handout here which has pretty much all of that on it. We have a final coffee break, and then we're back in church for the last session, which is at past 12. So... Bye.